Welcome to the new podcast episode of our podcast, Success is Not Luck, with routines, structure, and new habits. In fact, it's already podcast episode number 11. And in the last episodes, we have learned many techniques. How can I structure? How can I improve my time management? How can I easily get into implementation? And I have received a lot of messages. They say, I tried it, the Eisenhower method, sorted a bit the next day again. By the day after, it wasn't really present anymore. After 2 days, I let it go again. Thank goodness your next podcast episode came out and you introduced something new. And then I tried that again, and now I'm a bit confused because how exactly am I supposed to combine all of this together? What should I do? Today, some very, very clear pointers on that. First, to try something means to try it consistently and implement it. And only when it has become a routine, then the next thing is added. Otherwise, it is actually comparable to multitasking. Those who follow me on Instagram know that I always have these routines of visiting construction sites, and I do this very intentionally on a day when I visit all the construction sites. Of course, only as a tourist, I really have nothing to do with it. It's also not good if I touch anything, and I do all of them one after the other. Now, imagine if I were to spread them individually throughout the week. Yes, one might say, well, maybe you're right nearby. No, but I'm usually not, and I have other things to do as well. Now go a step further and imagine that the craftsman would work on several construction sites at once, requiring him to go to different places. Everyone would say that's nonsense. Does not work. Yes. And that is the definition of multitasking. I am doing several things completely, and that means in the end, I am not doing anything properly. At best, I am doing two things halfway well, and then let it go again. And it's exactly the same with the techniques here. You have to do one thing first, complete it. It must become second nature to you. Then move on to the next one. So if you're still there and saying, I'm lost, where is your sheet with the tasks? That is the foundational requirement of it all. Write down everything you have to do. Business, personal, just write everything on a list. Initially, without sorting, without prioritizing, above all. And then take this list and slowly start writing it into the Eisenhower matrix. You don't have to write everything in. It's enough to begin by writing in a few things just to get into structuring, and do it consistently. Make a few entries every day again into the Eisenhower matrix. And after a short time, it will become second nature for you to differentiate between important and urgent. What do you really have to accomplish? What is slightly more pressing? What still has a bit of time, but I can handle well? And what actually goes into the lower quadrants? What is not quite so important? What can I perhaps delegate away? And what doesn't really lead me closer to my goals? And once you've nicely done that, you can slowly move on and identify the frog who's looking at you with their bulging eyes, where you say, I actually don't want to think of Eat the Frog, the episode. Here in the podcast, this is what you do best early in the morning. And once you've identified it, tomorrow morning is a great time to get it done. Remember, Todoist, that's where I even have the entries, so I have all my tasks in there. I've also differentiated them with various priorities according to the Eisenhower matrix. And Eat the Frog gets the extra label ET. And that is done first thing the next morning. And then please don't work on so many things in parallel. So of course you do eat the frog and finish that. But if you don't quite finish it, remember episode 3. There I talked about quick wins, middle projects, and big projects. I talked about how there's a sort of backlog where tasks accumulate, and where you can then take out individual tasks to work on them, but always only a few in parallel. That has a bit to do with the Kibana method. We haven't talked about it, but for those who know it, yes, it goes in that direction. You have such a backlog, and then you take it out and work on it, or you complete it and then have nothing more to do with it. And how do you work on it? Ideally with the Pomodoro technique. And when we now look at the Eisenhower matrix, 2/3 from the important and urgent quadrant and 1/3 from the quadrant. Not important, but not urgent. This approach is so important because you naturally have to work through the super important quadrant, but at the same time, you should cut off the supply. Important but not urgent tasks eventually move over to important and urgent, and it's best to cut them off there and work long term only in the quadrant of important but not urgent. And a magic trick for all of this to implement it are breaks. We already talked about it in the Pomodoro technique, the 25-5 division, but why are breaks also important? Again, several voices mentioned that they do not need breaks in between. Nonsense. I just work straight through and then I feel empty in the evening, but I'm okay with that. Breaks are great for your energy. No one would think of running a phone down to 10% and then saying the power is enough for the next 4 important hours I have. No one would do that. Nobody would run a car tank empty and say, whatever, I'll just drive a few hundred more kilometers with it. Just see taking a break as an investment in your energy battery. It's not a break, you're being diligent, you're investing in your personal battery. Then on to the next task. And what is important for that is a plan. Many of you are investors, but even if you're not an investor, everyone needs plans, daily plans, weekly plans, monthly plans, yearly plans. Everyone needs a certain goal, a certain coordination. What do I want to achieve? And on the one hand, goal planning helps. And on the other hand, time boxing with, for example, Pomodoro. Let's stick with daily planning for now. I always look at it last thing in the evening, into my to-do list for the next day. By last thing, I don't mean I do it in bed. At some point, we'll do an episode on super sleeping. That's actually my superpower, that I regenerate extremely well at night and have incredibly good resilience. And that's not just because I'm well organized, but also because I have a specific technique, method, and structure planned for it. More on that another time. So I ask myself in the evening, how much budget do I actually have tomorrow? What's on the agenda for tomorrow? Tomorrow is Tuesday. When I'm recording this episode, tomorrow is Tuesday and I spend the afternoon with my daughter, Lena. Tuesday mornings, some of you know this, I do participant coaching. That means if there were projects on my task list for tomorrow, I would actually have no chance of working on them. And that's why they are non-scheduled for tomorrow. That means I will make a check. And if something accidentally slipped in for tomorrow because I overlooked something, I would remove it and move it to another day. There are a few things like that. These are always in there. A few quick wins that I handle very early in the morning on the sofa or on the cross trainer or in between. That's not what I mean now. The list isn't empty, but there are no big projects on it. So how much budget do I actually have for tomorrow? And then the comparison with my calendar, so I'm not surprised in the morning. And for every day that I plan normally, I have a budget reserve of 20 to 25%. I don't schedule all the hours I want to work, but keep a certain reserve. You know, sometimes things come up that fill this reserve, but there are also days when the reserve isn't needed. And then I spend it with myself. That can, of course, be time with myself, time with the children, time with my wife. No matter what, it's just a wonderful bonus time that I've gained. It was my bonus time, my bonus budget, if something unforeseen comes up. And it's all the more beautiful if nothing came. By the way, I also schedule appointments with myself in my calendar. That may sound pretty strange as a task now, almost like an obligation, but it is one because I schedule time with myself and that is an important appointment. And maybe you know this when you say, oh, the sun is shining, later I'll go for a walk, I'll just do this and that, and then I'll go for a walk, and whoosh, the sky clouds over, it rains, it gets dark, that was it for the walk. If you had a firm appointment, maybe even with a weather forecast, then you would have done it and the anticipation is really great. 3 o'clock, I take a nice walk, then I take it at 3 o'clock. I am stingy with my time for other things, and that's why I managed to make an appointment with myself. Further question that came up, how do I approach projects at all? Some go quickly, others are enormous. How do I do it? My saying for that is wrap small things in packages, slice big things into pieces. I might have a more in-depth saying for you in a moment. So first, wrap small things in packages. These are the quick wins. I have that. In the morning, in almost the first hour of the day, I already have my 8 to 10 super quick wins. These are small things, like sending a message to my children to say good morning, saying good morning to my parents, just quickly checking WhatsApp to see if someone has a birthday and congratulating them. All these quick wins not only make me happy because I can tick them off and hear that satisfying plop sound from Todoist, but they also make many others happy, so they are true win-win quick wins. Yes, and then there are, of course, the bigger things. And when there are bigger things, you often can't complete them all at once. We already heard something about the frog in the last episode. I'll give you another animal now. How do you eat an elephant? Piece by piece, and no, you're not supposed to eat an elephant. You're also not supposed to eat frogs. That was another metaphor. Piece by piece, the project is enormous, but that means you have to break it down into small parts. Yes, easier said than done, but I'll give you a solid approach for that right now. Not one should, one ought to. You make an appointment, possibly make several appointments, and then you implement that. And I'm not going to say break the goal into any number of sub-goals and interim steps and then you're there, but instead I'll tell you precisely, for large projects, you define the next three steps. And with that, the project is not finished. You just define the next three steps. And when you have taken the first step, you define the next step afterward. That means you always have three next steps, which are, of course, also blocked accordingly in your calendar. It's blocked in your time boxing as a medium or big project anyway. Everything is already super organized for you if you have listened to all the episodes and followed them or have let yourself be inspired. And that's what you do. And let's say you have no idea what the next steps are. Then you take a piece of paper and a pen. You have a block. Then you take a piece of paper and a pen and first write down what information or resources do I still need to plan the project or the first three steps at all. Then this is exactly your appointment. And I bet with you it's like this. From these small blockage appointments, when you write down what you are still missing, what you need to do, the next three steps emerge. For example, I need to ask X, I need to research Y, or I get a VA who researches whatever else for me and collaborates. And in small parts, large tasks are incredibly manageable. In large heaps, they are truly pure. And if you're now thinking, what nonsense, I plan everything here from A to Z, I have it all on my plan and it will happen exactly like that. I've brought a beautiful saying. How do you make God laugh? By making a plan. And you certainly know that you've already planned a lot. And then somehow, after a short time, it turned out quite differently. Everyone who works in a corporation, everyone who is self-employed, yes, but also students and pupils, I believe, know this challenge. But if you only plan the next three steps, and they can be three small steps, and plan one step further after each step, you're basically flying by sight and always just the next few meters. Then you don't have this huge plan that goes wrong, but instead you're right on track and complete everything one after the other. And be stingy with your time. If you need hours, days, weeks, or months for a big project, then you are still thrifty and make the first appointments very, very short. For example, Pomodoro technique, 25 minutes, but they can also be shorter. For example, if you have a block and you say you are doing this mini planning appointment, then give yourself 10 minutes and set a timer. You might have got yourself a nice tomato as a ringtone alarm clock or an appropriate app for it. Just make it very short. That way you don't procrastinate. You're more likely to feel enthusiastic and realize after 10 minutes, okay, it wasn't so bad. And now I have a rough overview of what the next steps are, at least here. I have a ton of things that show up in my to-do list that have a mini plan. So that's kind of included in the quick wins, which is actually already like a medium-sized project, but I've broken it down into many small planning steps. That it's actually not a project anymore, but just little things that I finish on that day and bam, check it off, done, on to the next. And then I gain further insight into the ongoing progress of the project, and eventually there might be a bigger entry about it once it's fully formulated. Now, I will give you an overall view of this entire technique, the combination of Eisenhower, Pomodoro, Eat the Frog. Once again, a nice image. Imagine a large container, a container of your choice. It can be a glass container, it can be a bucket, it can be a trophy, simply something you particularly like right now. And now imagine that each of your tasks, which you have identified on your task list, are stones. Stones of completely different sizes. You have small pebbles inside, you have a bit of gravel, you have larger pebbles, you have angular, smooth stones, all kinds, colorful, black, white, and you also have some larger stones inside. Maybe you even have actual boulders in there. They are all mixed up in this jar. And now you start in the morning and say to yourself, I'll just do this in my office. So we're not talking about the mini quick wins, but take a look at some emails. I look at the Instagram account. I get myself a coffee. I talk to my colleague. All important things that can definitely be found somewhere on your matrix. But ultimately, you're taking out small pebbles, maybe mini pebbles, maybe just a bit of gravel. But what happens? You are busy for hours. You now look at your container and notice looks the same as before. Meanwhile, something else happened. Someone came in and poured in a bit more sand or a bit more water. It still fits. These can be things that come via email, phone calls from colleagues, bosses, or employees. Everything still fits in. And at the end of the day, you think, wow, I was busy all day, but somehow I didn't accomplish anything special. And now you turn it around. Your stones are not in the beautiful vessel, but are sorted on a large board with four quadrants, namely the Eisenhower matrix. And now you look in the morning, or even better in the evening for the next day. But when you then start to work, you say, okay, what is my most important quadrant? Top left, important and urgent. What is the biggest rock? What is the frog that smiles at you? And you take that one. And you will see if you take one or two chunks from this board. Now think back to the container. Take out one or two chunks. Then you are incredibly further along and suddenly, wham, the vessel is half empty for the day, mind you, not yet for the year and for life, but for the day. And that motivates seeing so much suddenly out. And you will notice something else nice when so much is out and now someone comes in with a bucket of water in hand and says, I would like to pour a little something in. As a metaphor, I had a few tasks for you. Yes, all right. So, and take on the biggest task and don't start with emails here, Instagram there, but start with the biggest, with the frog, and just take this mental image of the vessel with you. And now, towards the end of this episode, I will tell you the 10 biggest mistakes in time management. That was often requested as well. We already covered the 10 biggest mistakes in the Inbox Zero method. Now we will do the 10 biggest mistakes in time management. And afterwards, I have a little surprise for you. First, lack of prioritization. Yes, not being able to distinguish important tasks from urgent or unimportant ones. Yes, if you use the Eisenhower Matrix, this can't happen to you. It will become second nature and revolutionize your daily life. I promise you. Second, no clear daily planning. You don't have different slots. You don't have a set plan for the day. You can easily get off track or waste your time on less important tasks with small pebbles, with a bit of gravel, and you don't get any further with the right big tasks. Third, lack of goals. Without clear goals, direction is missing, which leads to significantly more inefficiency. Can lead to time mismanagement because there's this lovely saying, if you have no goal, you'll get lost. That fits very well with number three. Number four, procrastination. You just keep postponing tasks, especially those you perceive as unpleasant or challenging. Yes, who doesn't know it? I do sometimes catch myself having this thought. It is not as if everything is super cool and perfect here, and I never have these thoughts. But then I notice that I have these thoughts and take on the tasks that I would mentally prefer to postpone right away with the ticket. ETF, eat the frog, and then they will be completed promptly. Number five, multitasking. We have already talked about it often, but if you try to complete multiple tasks at once, it ultimately only leads to a loss of quality and efficiency. If you do two things in parallel, you do neither at 100%, but significantly less, and it also costs more. More time than if you did them one after another with 100% results. Six, overload. Taking on too many tasks at once, and this is really a very, very important topic. Because it's the same for many people, and just the sight of a task list that's so full to make this basic sorting can simply lead to not feeling good about it. It can, if it goes badly, also lead to stress, burnout, and all sorts of things. I had a longer video call with someone last week where we talked a lot about structuring and time management, and it was amazing how many tasks were on the list. She had already started creating a really great time management plan for it. But now the combination of an incredibly large number of tasks and how do I fit them in when I have a lot of goals at the same time? That was really challenging, but I hope we've made a good step forward. So don't take on too much at once. If everything is important, then you need to differentiate again. Then some things just have to become less important. Number seven, lack of breaks. That is one of the most important aspects of time management, to schedule breaks. If you don't schedule enough breaks, your productivity and concentration will significantly decrease over the day. And by the afternoon, at the latest, you will not be performing nearly as well as you could if you took a few small breaks in between. Mistake number eight, unrealistic time planning. The time needed for tasks is regularly underestimated, but sometimes also overestimated. And sometimes it depends on the framework conditions. If we allocate a lot of time to a task, it will take a lot of time. The Parkinson's law. But if we plan very strictly, and especially if we then say, if we are not finished with it, we just continue in the next Pomodoro or the next day, then it gets better. But you really have to plan realistically and not even, I'll just quickly do the next five podcast episodes today, then they're already in the can and I allocate 1 hour for it. The timing just can't fit. Additionally, a little insight for one of these episodes, regardless if it's 10, 15, or this will probably be 30 minutes long, I need approximately 1 to 1.5 hours with preparation and scripting, with follow-up, with everything included. A VA will take over the shorter follow-up, but that will also only be 10 to 15 minutes, well, more often in the month, that it will take. And that would be unrealistic to say, I'm just going to do 5 episodes right now. Number nine, this fits quite well with what I said about delegating the next part of it, poor delegation. Not being able to delegate tasks effectively or complete control. This is a great example here with the podcast. At the moment, I enjoy having complete control over it and simultaneously learning how it all works. This is yet another new recording program that I'm using. It's the third one I'm using now. I've already invested in the technology here with a different microphone in such a big mixing console here. Just now into another recording program again. Feel free to give me feedback on how this sound is for you. And when I have all this perfect, then I can do various other things as well. Hand over, for example, the post-processing with editing the audio track, uploading the podcast episode, creating the podcast episode, first the show notes, and so on and so forth. But you have to do that at some point too, and not, now I've learned it once before I teach someone. Oh no, I'd rather do it myself, for heaven's sake. Number 10, disturbances and distractions. We had those in almost every episode. Turn off email notifications, turn off social media, put the cell phone on airplane mode, close or lock the door. These are all the things that can distract you. This won't happen if you, for example, use the Pomodoro technique and are very consistent with it. But of course, a task that is not particularly fun makes a chat with a colleague, a friend, a phone call, or dear Instagram much more appealing than continuing with this task. That's what the breaks are for. Take it as a reward for the breaks. Yes, and now we indeed have the top 10, but I keep hearing my favorite saying, I don't have time for time management. And those who do not have a fixed routine or structure in their daily life have chaos and inefficiency. There are only these two options. Yesterday, I did a short survey on Instagram to see if my last episode had already been listened to. And yes, or I'll do it today. Or there's also the third option. No, I'm chaotic, but I'm very good at it. I love it and I'm sticking with it. I know incredibly few people who not only have everything under control with chaotic planning, but are also deeply satisfied within themselves. They might have given up on certain parts and say, well, I just won't do that anymore because I just can't manage it. And somehow they manage to live well with that. I don't want to mention specific professions, but I'm thinking of some. But that is not an option for you who are listening to this podcast. Many of you, as I have already suggested above, since I come from the real estate world, I assume many of you also come from the real estate and investor world. And that's not going to get you anywhere. You won't make big, awesome deals like this. You won't grow in a scalable way like this. You need to bring routine and structure into your daily life. And if you don't have time for time management, then take some. At least this mini task, sit down for 10 minutes. What needs to happen now? What could my next step look like? Yes, and whether you have everything under control, whether you really have good time management or not, as I said, I still have this one more thing for you. And I'll write a little quiz in the show notes. Just a few questions, and you can simply answer them with yes or no. Count the number of yeses you give. And below, of course, comes the explanation right away. Just a small self-reflection. And if you feel like it, share with me on Instagram how many yeses you had. And you should definitely say yes now to sharing the episode, rating the episode with 5 stars if you haven't done so yet, and maybe leaving a comment. And the name of our podcast is Success is Not Luck. But always remember, today is a good day to be happy. Thank you for being with us today. We'll hear each other in the next episode.